RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo affirms Nias has a great fisherman tourism potential. Police Chief Tito Karnavian plans to improve service to the public. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo says Nias Island has two great potentials in the form of tourism and the fishery sector, and both can be developed by the local administration. He stated on Friday that he has seen Nias from the sky. It has two great potential, tourism and fishery. The government should focus on these two sectors. President Joko Widodo also pointed out that the electricity-related infrastructure should be built and airports should be constructed with a focus on these two sectors. The electricity generation must be enough to support a cold storage facility in the fishery industry that will help the area in exporting the commodity to other countries. He underlined his belief that Nias Island can achieve more economic development if the local government focuses on these two sectors. President Joko Widodo disclosed the mayor and four heads of district have informed him that many development projects are being hampered in Nias due to lack of electricity, inadequate airport facilities as well as poor road condition and educational facilities. National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian is working harder to improve the level of services officers provide to the general public. In a meeting with Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform Minister Asman Abnur at the National Police Headquarters in Jakarta on Friday, General Tito affirmed that the public service is the main topic and how the police will help to improve it. He also spoke out about current innovation that allows the police to respond quickly. At the same time, he emphasized the lack of online access to many services. He remarked that the driver licenses are available online, but not vehicle registration, vehicle ownership books, and police clearance reports. Public service rooms also need to be improved. During the meeting, General Tito also announced the establishment of new police headquarters in West Sulawesi and a status upgrade of two regional police headquarters in North Sulawesi and West Kalimantan. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said on Friday that her top priorities are to restore credibility in the state budget and to improve investor confidence in the economy. She stated that the past priority is restoring the credibility of Indonesian budget. She also explained that over the past 2 years, perception had emerged that all the figures in the budget had been decided in a way that created more questions rather than clarity. Mrs. Sri Mulyani added that she expects the economy to go faster. She said to grow faster in the second half and post a full-year growth of 5.2%, although she admitted that the target would be a little tough to reach. She also pointed out that 5.2 is going to be possible, but it requires a lot of hard work. In April-June quarter, Indonesia had better than expected annual growth of 5.18%. In the first quarter, the pace was 4.92%. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Bank Indonesia and BI started the implementation of long anticipated new benchmark interest rate, the 7-day reverse repo rate, 7DRR, on Friday, which is set at 5.25%. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo said that in August monthly meeting, the Board of Governors had decided to set the 7DRR at 5.25% with lending facility rate set at 4.5% and lending facility rate lower by 100 basis point, BPS from 7% to 6%. Under the new reference, the financial markets will drop the former benchmark BI rate, which is currently at 6.5%, and tune to the 7DRR, which will be affected as of Saturday. Governor Agus said at the press briefing in Jakarta on Friday evening that to improve the transmission of policy, the central bank began using Bank Indonesia's 7DRR as the benchmark interest rate to replace Bank Indonesia's rate. Indonesian oil and gas producer Medco Energy International plans to invest $500 million US to build a copper smelter following its deal to buy control of Newmont Nusa Tenggara NTT. This was stated by President Commissioner of Medco, Muhammad Lufi, more recently. He stated that the smelter, which will have an annual capacity of 500,000 metric tons, is expected to start operation in 2021. He added that part of the funds to build the smelter will come from bank loans. A consortium consisting of oil and gas tycoon Arifin Panigoro, who founded Medco, and banker Agus Projo Sasmito announced in late June that it will spend $2.6 billion to buy 82.2% of NTT, which operates Indonesia's second biggest copper and gold mine. The Indonesian group is buying 56% of NNT from U.S. miner Newmont Mining and Japan Sumitomo and its partners. It will buy the remaining 26.2% from local companies. Philippine authorities are currently inquiring about the two Indonesian sailors who escaped from the captivity of Abu Sayyaf militants. This was stated by Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Armanata Nasir on Friday. He said that the authorities are currently filing a report to obtain details on their condition during their captivity and escape. The sailors, identified as Muhammad Sofian and Ismail, are currently in Sambuanga and under the protection of Indonesian embassy in the Philippines. Armanata also confirmed that Indonesian ambassador to the Philippines, Johnny Lumintan, is in Sambuanga with them. He said without special time frame for the sailors' return that after the process is finished, they will be taken back to Indonesia. The last item, Indonesian government through foreign minister plans to issue overseas Indonesian ID card for Indonesians abroad. Indonesian ambassador to Egypt, Helmi Fauzi, said that he warmly welcomes the plan and he asked the government to pay attention to a few points before issuing overseas Indonesian ID card. He added that ID number becomes a prominent aspect that is unnecessary to change, even though Indonesians always move to different countries. However, the ID number will be updated regarding to Indonesian personal data. In addition, tax identification number may be used in Indonesia. So far, the number of Indonesian national INIP has reached 4,200 people.
Dan kami juga berharap bahwa kartu ini
we also hope this card can be easily made where Indonesians overseas can sign up their registration number via online. If they move to different countries, their number will be the same, but only their personal data will be updated easily through online application. Ambassador Helmi Fauzi said that overseas Indonesia ID card is expected to provide advantages for Indonesian diasporas that also have interest in Indonesia. He also affirmed that the card will give ease for data collection of Indonesians abroad, including their potential. In addition, this card can be used to support tourism, promotion, economy, and trade. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with press review. Various significant events that occurred this week are reviewed by some of the leading media in Jakarta and are outlined in the press review. Let's begin with Media Indonesia newspaper. In its editorial on Friday, August the 20th, the paper writes, "Positive energy of Olympic gold." The success of the pair Tontowiah Ahmad and Liliana Natsir in winning gold in the mixed doubles badminton at the Olympics Rio de Janeiro in 2016 actually could be interpreted more broadly. That success is the result of the founding spirit which brought the Indonesian team to the Olympic Games in Brazil.
All athletes have fought valiantly, though the results are not always as expected. Whatever it was, they still deserve respect and appreciation. According to Media Indonesia, the gold medal dedicated by Tontowi Liliana clearly not just a victory for the world badminton and national sports. It was not even just a special offering for Indonesia, which at the same time was celebrating its 71st Independence Day. The success of the couple is a great energy that should be interpreted as very positive for the country's spirit of nationalism, perseverance, sportsmanship, consistency in struggle, the power of strategy and cooperation, as well as the spirit of diversity, all wrapped up in the victory. Next is from Business Indonesia newspaper, which in its editorial on Thursday, August 18th, writes Sustainable Economic Acceleration Action. The people of Indonesia on Wednesday, August the 17th, celebrated the 71st Independence Day, which was marked with a variety of activities ranging from various competitions to cultural performances. The essence of the great festive day euphoria was an expression of gratitude to the Almighty by keeping the spirit of togetherness. As a sovereign nation, Indonesia has the lofty ideals to achieve a just and prosperous society, as stated in the text of the preamble of the 1945 Constitution. To achieve that goal, President Joko Widodo, in the State Address on the Revenues and Expenditures or the 2017 Draft Budget and its Financial Note, emphasizes the need for more quality. It means the state budget should be able to be a fiscal instrument to support the fight against poverty, the reduction of income inequality, and job creation. Thus, the economy is not just growing but also sustainable and equitable. In the 2017 draft budget, the government stresses sustainability of the fiscal consolidation measures in order to maintain market and the business world confidence and become the basis of fiscal planning and further development. For that reason, in the 2017 draft budget, the government does not want to propose a budget that is far from the reality, though it remains expansive. In his speech, President Joko Widodo mentioned spending policy that underlines the productive and improved quality of spending priorities. The focus of spending is allocated to speed up development of infrastructure, social protection, subsidies that are better targeted, and strengthening fiscal decentralization. With the economic growth assumption of 5.3% of GDP, the economic outlook is estimated to be better than this year. Nevertheless, the government recognizes there is still an element of uncertainty that comes from the global economic slowdown, including a number of internal challenges. Meanwhile, the challenges from the domestic side are related to strengthening economic competitiveness and productivity levels. Other factors that is not less important for the economy and can be run in a more realistic and credible way is ensuring the political stability. It is the task of a government to ensure that condition. Well, that was press review over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, it started for an event on August 20, 1993, when the Oslo Agreement was signed. The peace agreement between National Authority of Palestine and Israel was approved in Oslo, Norway on August 20, 1993 and was officially signed in Washington, D.C. on September 13, 1993 by Mahmoud Abbas, who represented National Authority of Palestine, and Simon Peres, who represented Israel. The signing of the Oslo Agreement was witnessed by Warren Christopher from USA and Andrei Kosirev from Russia before President of USA Bill Clinton and Prime Minister of Israel Yitzhak Rabin and the leader of PLO Yasser Arafat. We switch to August 20, 1998 when the United States invaded Afghanistan and Sudan. The United States of America attacked Afghanistan and Sudan with long-range missile. The attack on August 20, 1998 was based on Washington claim that the bomber of the U.S. Embassy in Kenya and Tanzania 2 weeks before relate to Afghanistan and Sudan. Besides, Washington reasoned that by the attack of pharmaceutical factory in Sudan, the factory produced chemical weapons. The accusation of USA was never proved at all. Therefore, the attack raised the anger of international community towards USA aggression. Listener, when we depend on August 20, 2003, when the initial construction of Suramadu Bridge was inaugurated. On August 20, 2003, former President Megawati Sukarno-Putri officially announced the beginning of construction of the longest bridge across the Madura Strait that connects the island of Java in Surabaya and Madura Island in Bangkalan. The length of the bridge is 5,438 meters and it is the longest bridge in Indonesia nowadays. On June 11, 2009, former President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono officially announced the beginning operation of Suramadu Bridge. The bridge consists of three parts, causeway, approach bridge, and main bridge. The construction of the bridge was aimed at accelerating development in Madura Island and it impulsed infrastructure economy in Madura. The construction of the bridge was done from both sides of Bangkalan and Surabaya. Meanwhile, the construction was also simultaneously done, consisting middle span of a main bridge and approach bridge. Listener, that was Today in History from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm here, Manar Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is the Radio World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's focus is on Indonesia Accelerates International Partnership Cooperation. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi said Indonesia is doing cost analysis or study on the advantages and disadvantages of its participation in a number of international cooperation, including the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. President Joko Widodo, in his official speech the day before the 71st anniversary of Independence Day on Tuesday, said that the government will accelerate the exploration of a wide range of international trade cooperation and consider Indonesia's participation in international economic partnership. The president then pointed out the cooperation within the framework of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement and the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP. The Trans-Pacific Partnership members are Australia, the United States, Brunei Darussalam, Chile, Japan, Canada, Malaysia, Mexico, Peru, New Zealand, Singapore, and Vietnam. While member states of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership are 10 members of ASEAN or the Association of Southeast Asian Countries plus 6 ASEAN partner countries, namely Australia, China, India, Japan, South Korea, and New Zealand. Minister Retno Marsudi emphasized partnership in Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership is also being negotiated and not yet completed. In connection with the possibility of overlapping policies related to Indonesia's plan to join the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement and the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, Minister Retno said the government is still conducting a study. Earlier, former Vietnamese deputy negotiator for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Ambassador Nguyen Nguyet Nga, while giving a public lecture entitled Integrating the Market into the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Lessons Learned from Vietnam in Jakarta last week, said that the Trans-Pacific Partnership will benefit the economy of Indonesia greatly, so he encourages Indonesia to join the partnership. Ambassador Nga explained about some benefits to be gained by joining the Trans-Pacific Partnership. One of them is associated with market diversification. In a study conducted by the Australia-Indonesia Partnership for Economic Governance, Trans-Pacific Partnership will create new export opportunities worth $2.9 billion for Indonesia. In addition, it will also save $1.3 billion in tariff payment for Indonesian exporters. Ambassador Nga said Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement also can help Indonesia expand its export markets, encourage economic restructuring, giving impetus to economic growth, and establishing connectivity with the main countries of economic power. Besides, it could also support Indonesia's social and economic reform. Ambassador Nga added that other benefits of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement for Indonesia is to provide a better position for Indonesia in negotiating other free trade agreements. Well, that was Focus Today over Voice of Indonesia on Indonesia Accelerates International Partnership Cooperation. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Kir News in Brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo says Nias Island has two great potentials in the form of tourism and the fishery sector, and both can be developed by local administration. National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian is working harder to improve the level of service his officers provide to general public. In a meeting with Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform Minister Asman Abnur at the National Police Headquarters in Jakarta on Friday, General Tito affirmed that the public service is the main topic and how the police will have to improve it. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said on Friday that her top priorities are to restore credibility in the state budget and to improve investor confidence in the economy. Bank Indonesia (BI) started the implementation of long anticipated new benchmark interest rate, the 7-day reverse repo rate, on Friday, which is set at 5.25%. Indonesian oil and gas producer Medco Energy International plans to invest $500 million to build a copper smelter following its deal to buy control of Newmont Nusa Tenggara (NNT). Philippine authorities are currently inquiring about the two Indonesian sailors who escaped from the captivity of Abu Sayyaf militants. This was stated by Indonesian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Armanata Nasir on Friday. Indonesian government through Foreign Ministry plans to issue overseas Indonesian ID card for Indonesians abroad. Indonesian ambassador to Egypt, Helmi Posi, said that he warmly welcomes the plan and he asks the government to pay attention to a few points before issuing overseas Indonesian ID cards. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, at en.voi.co.id.
You still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesia Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned! Listener, Lombok is an island located in the province of West Nusa Tenggara. Lombok Island is surrounded by waters. It is the reason why the beaches in Lombok have a lot of beach tourisms, such as all the existing beaches in central Lombok Regency. The natural beauty of the beaches makes the tourists who visit it want to spend a lot of time in those places. However, one of the wonderful beaches in central Lombok is Segar Beach. Segar Beach is still a natural and unique beach. The white sandy and the hilly panoramas of Segar Beach become the typical beach of central Lombok on the south side. Besides the hill, this beach also has coral reef panorama. Those coral reefs emerge from the middle of the sea known as Tengkok Stone or Mushroom Stone. When the water is receding, the tourists can reach the stone with foot. There is neither history record nor background story of Seger Beach from the local society, yet it can be estimated because of the nature of this beach. The beautiful white sand, the purity of the water, the green of the plants grown in the seaside and quiet atmosphere of the beach could refresh our mind. Seger Beach is located in central Lombok on the south side, precisely 2 kilometers to the east side from Kuta Lombok Beach. Seger Beach is actually still in the same coastline with Kuta Bali Beach. To reach the Seger Beach, we can take the route to Kuta Beach. From the international airport of Lombok in Praia, it takes 30 minutes by car to reach Seger Beach, whereas from Mataram, it reaches around 52 kilometers. From Senggigi Beach, it takes around 2 hours. The available modes of transportation to reach the beach are taxi, travel services, or rental cars. In every year, on February or March, the local people do an annual activity called Baunyali. Baunyali is a ritual which is marked with the appearance of the sea worm or nyale, on which it is believed as the bed of Princess Mandalika. This ritual is based on the myth about the daughter of a king in Lombok Island. Listener, however, it is a free charge to enjoy Seger Beach. Yet, if you go by car, you only pay 10,000 rupiahs and 5,000 rupiahs for motorcycle. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Seger Beach in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener of VOI, wherever you are, welcome back with me Andika in Miscellany. Listener, Buton Island located in Southeast Sulawesi Province is known as its asphalt, and in addition to asphalt found at Trinidad Island in Caribbean Sea, Buton is also known as blue-eyed people, as if Europeans. In today's edition, we are introducing you to Buton's blue-eyed people. This northern Indonesian as part of Southeast Asia has characteristics as the same as European. Take for example, Indonesia has blue eyes, white skin, blonde hair, as if Caucasus with race. At two Indonesian regions, namely Lamno Village in Jaya Subdistrict at Aceh Province and Waindawula Village in East Siompu Subdistrict, South Buton Regency, there are blue-eyed people. These blue-eyed people in Aceh and Buton are the result of mixed marriage between the indigenous people and Portuguese army who stopped over the both regions. The blue-eyed people from Aceh almost vanished because of tsunami on December 26, 2006 because their village was swept by giant tsunami waves. Although they have Caucasoid faces, they still have Aceh and Islamic culture. Then, Portuguese army who married with Lamno people followed Islam religion. Nowadays, it is the eighth descendant. Listener, blue-eyed people are also found in Buton, Southeast Sulawesi. According to temporary research, in Waindawula village, there are only 3 descendants left,
they still have French descent. They live in villages as farmers. Approximately, there are 10 blue-eyed people in the village. Meanwhile, other descendants are not in blue eyes, but they have blonde hair and white skin. Approximately, there are only 20 families who now live in Waindiwula village because the others have moved to other regions, such as Ambon, and they spend their time in the rice field as farmers. However, blue-eyed people from Waindamula, Buton do not warmly welcome foreigners as the blue-eyed people from Aceh do. They tend to avoid people when they are asked for information. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today's edition. Thank you for listening and see you next time with another interesting topic. Goodbye!
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hey, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner. In today's edition, we are going to give the news pop songs. So stay tuned on RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia to shortwave 9525 kHz, live streaming on www.voi.co.id or through application RRI Play on your smartphone.
Biasanya ku terus bertanya, ku mendekat.
Listener, we have just heard a song of Ku Ada Untukmu by Bayu Risa. The newest single of Bayu Risa was released in May and produced by Joseph Sharuf. The first impression when listening to the music is cheerfulness and the upbeat music. Ask anyone to dance, and that is what Bayu conveys through the single song. The music of Ku Ada Untukmu was created by soul and R&B arrangement and inspired by Motown songs. Meanwhile, the lyric was written by Bayu himself. In this song, the theme of the song is about best friends who will feel the joys and sorrows. The song of Ku Ada Untukmu is now still dominating the top songs on radio stations in Indonesia. Bayu Purwadiri Sakota started his career in 2006 and joined in Pasto vocal group. Then he was out from the group and became soloist. In 2010, he released his first solo album entitled Percaya or Believe, and he collaborated with the singer of the music group Run. Before we review the songs of Bayu Risa, the song Percaya will be presented to you first. Stay tuned.
Yeah. ragu-ragu, yakinkan hatimu dan tetap percaya.
Listener, Percaya song was inspired by Bayu Risa's experience himself. He saw and felt the struggle of children of cancer sufferers to survive while against the disease. Their own enthusiasm to fight this disease makes Bayu Risa be moved to help provide moral support in the form of songs. The music of this song is electropop or dance with any dynamic and fresh musical elements. Of course, such musical arrangement makes anyone as audience excited and eager to sway. Percaya song itself is there in Bayu Risa's first album entitled Rise and Start Again, released by Shinjitos Record. Through this song, believe Bayu Risa become known in the music of Indonesia. With the success with Percaya song, Bayu released the second single from Rise and Start Again album, entitled Sela. In contrast to previous cheerful song, this song is quite slow music with poetic lyric. This song tells about someone who apologized to his sweetheart and asked time to improve it. Sela's song and another song of Bayu Risa entitled Berhenti Untuk Mencari will be on soon. Both songs will end our meeting. Goodbye and see you next time.
Maafkan aku, kadang
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Dan ku melihat jauh ke sana, tanpa suara rindukan senja. Kata-kata yang dahulu tak terucap, kini terucap sudah. Bagaimana lepas cinta, hati yang cerita suka dan duka. Bagai semua yang rindukan surga, mentari pagi telah ganti senja. Cahayanya tenggelam, bintang ia si malam.
Merasakan cinta di hati, takkan ada yang tersembunyi. Di antara semua janji kalau memberi sebuah pelangi, wajah yang selalu menjadi harapan untuk dijalani. Akan tiba masa nanti kita berhenti untuk mencari. Merasa hanya lagi
like a lion striking like a lightning rocking. I'm a legend, the story is legendary. Only us are revolutionary. No need the words to tell me, action speaks louder than the gun. Unsung hero, poetry never winning. Granted, we're looking for it. Back and forth with fighting, cause it finds me. Makes me understand that peace of mind is a gift. Give me a reason to rise, give me a chance to shine. There's a price for everything, but time and time is not everything. Love is, so for the love's glory, I'll be spitting this.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Memikirkan dirimu ada
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.